Hey, this is Lori Moylov, and this is the Limitless Podcast, which is all about creativity and exploring creativity. I'm with Chiron, who is an amazing flow coach, multidimensional flow coach. Can you tell us, Chiron, a little bit about what that means? And I know you do seminars and panels, and you have even a cool IG live that you do called Raw and Unedited. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do as a flow coach?
All right. Hey, everybody. So my name is Chiron. I guess that is like a channeled name that I've received, and I kind of like embodied the name Chiron since I was 21. What actually got me to this point? I think a bit of my brief history of where I was and what actually happened. So I went through college. When I finished high school, I was telling my mom that I wanted to do fashion design, right? And my mom was very adamant that I did not do fashion design, and she moved me into doing science. So by hook or crook, I went into doing dentistry, and I went into doing pharmacy, because after the first year of dentistry, I realized I didn't really like much looking into people's mouths. Not the funnest job. Yeah. So I would say no. Then I ended up doing pharmacy, and I came out of it and I said, look, I didn't really like this. This is not the job that I'm very resonated with, because as a kid, I was quite creative. I could see things in a very different way, and I could see things in a different facet. And I always tried communicating that with people, but no one really understood it. Right. So for me, in my head, I was like, okay, how am I going to be able to bring all of this creativity out to make sure that they can see what I'm saying? It was by creative pursuit, you know, by making a video, So while I was finishing up pharmacy, I actually opened up an agency with a close friend, which managed models, and, you know, it's called, it was called Alt Ego Management. And we did do a lot of work in the fashion sphere and like a lot of that really fun stuff. But then I realized that a lot of these models were coming from the space of ego and trauma, and it was really hard to manage people's traumas when I hadn't really managed mine, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So that was the journey when it started for myself, was okay, this is great. Like, you know, now I need to be able to manage other people's traumas. And I saw all these people's traumas constantly, and I was like, whoa, like this is a lot to manage. And I was clearing it for them. But then I realized that my true passion lied in looking at other people step into their creative power, into who they are meant to be.
I love and that.
And that's where I realized that I'm actually much more better off being a flow coach or a multidimensional flow coach, because we all are we are definitely different dimensional beings, because we have different facets of our personality that work in different dimensions, because that is how the universe actually works, you know, because the creative expression comes from obviously the throat chakra, or like, you know, and but the reason why you actually want the creation can come from the space of ego, or can come from a space of inspiration, but it just depends on what we're using it to channel with and why we're trying to express that particular creative project or the creative asset that we want to vibrate out to the world. So I think that is where I started understanding more of the creative potential in each human. And I was thinking, why are people just following the same narrative? You know, it's the same protocol again and again, where they can actually be completely uniquely them. You don't have artists like Nicki Minaj and, you know, Beyonce, you know, by not actually moving and creating a dent in the universe. Yes, I do agree with a lot of funding and all of that stuff, but at the same time, they're just so uniquely them. You know, vibrating through their own creative pursuit, their own personality. So yeah, that's how I actually channeled into becoming a flow coach. And I've now my next project is to be able to enhance and empower more creatives to be able to be creative, as part of also doing a lot of creative work myself. Creating projects, art series, and things like that, which I don't really showcase too much, but I'm working on trying to just be vulnerable to the world, to just showcase that, hey, this is what I do, and this is who I am, and this is what I stand for. And it's an interesting process to come to that point, you know?
Yeah, Now, my question is also with this being this flow coach, you mentioned also on IGIC about quantum creativity. Now, I know some people might be like, they know what quantum is and they know what creativity is, but they're like, I've never heard that together. So can you kind of like explain what that is and how someone can tap into their quantum creativity?
Yeah, so I do this process in an immersion, and an immersion is something that I call, it's like a 4-hour program that I bring people through. And it's not done one-on-one, but I do it in groups with a bunch of people. So it's almost rewiring the subconscious programming that has already been instilled and actually moving back into your true self. That means your true resonance of what you want to create. And from that space, creating something that is completely uniquely you. A lot of the blueprints for creation right now is can be just copy and paste, you know?
Yeah.
I've taken inspirations from multiple different facets and understanding, okay, cool, I'm going to create something and, you know, I'm going to create a mood board for it and understand that mood board has to look a certain way. That works in technical ways of trying to create a brand or create a personality. That's totally fine. But to vibrate into the unique personality that you are, you require that space of being able to really understand who you are and how to create and penetrate the universe. And I guess the reason why I use the word penetrate is because it is creativity. When you put anything out into the quantum field, or you're actually densifying something like a thought. A thought is just a thought because you don't really have, like, it's not tangible until it's actually manifested in physicality.
Yeah.
So I can say, yes, I have a dream to be able to make this project happen, but until I actually densify it, or I actually alchemize it through my own wrestle and through, you know, okay, I want to make this project. This is going to have all these things need to happen for me to actually densify this particular thought form. It requires me to be able to manage the quantum field. And the quantum field is a place where it's, you know, anything can happen. You know, it's
limitless, right?
Yeah, it is limitless. Like, anything can happen. We do not know when, you know, we have no control of the quantum field. So what do we do when we don't have control? We release the control to the quantum and allow the quantum to be able to give us the best outcome for that particular vision that we may have. And this is why, you know, creating from a place of control is such a different aspect from creating from this place of quantum, because you're creating true ease. You're creating true allowing. You're creating true just being and vibrating that. And hopefully that's just good enough. You know, and that will just come out as you need to come out. And the beautiful part about a quantum is the fact that you can actually do quantum networking, where it's higher level networking, being able to find the right people to work with, or being able to, you know, put a call out, a signal in the quantum field to bring the right people to you to work with you. So yeah, it's a very interesting factor. And a lot of my clients that I've worked with, yeah, they have that space of that block of allowing these things to happen in their life. You know, some of them want to open up a brand, some of them want to do something that's so meaningful to them. But then when they are blocked, they do not know where they stand, what they want to do, how they're going to go. And that is why it's so hard for a lot of them to even vibrate and allow, you know. And this is why it's so such an important aspect, because you can create from a control, but then that's exhausting. It gets exhausting.
Yeah, I see that too. And I feel like also sometimes there's resistance within the creative. If you're really trying to control it, there's all that resistance, where when you're kind of more in what I call like that creative flow space, you forget time. I feel when I'm maybe making some music in the morning, I'm not thinking about anything. So I guess, what is it that helps like get these creatives? Like, if someone is kind of in that general space of not knowing, like they're wanting to either control or over control, or they're just at a blank slate where they don't know what to do. How do you help that creative? Because I feel everyone is creative. So how do you help that person kind of either unblock themselves or, help guide them, I guess. So that would be for anyone who's listening that maybe they're definitely a creative, but they just are either over controlling, right? They're controlling creatively, or they're just, having some sort of resistance or have a blockage where they can't be creative. What kind of helps ease them into action, I guess?
This is the funniest thing, because in order for you to release control, you have to do things which are controlled.
That's so funny. So like what?
like pretty much having a discipline. You're not going to create anything without having discipline, and discipline is a form of control.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
So it's a bit of a, you want to release control, but then you have to have control in certain ways. It's the oddest thing ever. Like, it's obviously, it's tick for tack, because I believe that if you channel, and I think it comes into balance, because when you're channeling control in one particular area of your life or a particular, just say, I put things in two different baskets, negotiables and non-negotiables, right? Negotiables are things which I can, when I wake up in the morning, negotiate about and say, yes, maybe not. Things that I'm not negotiating was is like meditating. Gym, yoga, maybe writing on my journal. Those are my non-negotiables. So really setting yourself and prioritizing, and that's priority, is a type of control. It is a type of control. But in order for you to have to create that's limitlessly, you have to have certain kind of control. It's such a weird paradox. It's a paradox because we are living in the quantum field, but mechanically, and I get it because I can see it, because the quantum field is so vast and widespread. You know, you have everything. It's just some limitless list and blah, 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 right? Everything is just beautiful. I can make magic happen there.
Right. Perfect.
But this density, where everything is like alive and everything is tangible, it is still constricted. It's not limitless. You still have to put two and two together to make it happen energetically. You know, if you have a project, you have to piece something together. Like when you, I mean, I'm pretty sure you understand, when you're making music, you have to put one layer on top of the other layer on top of your voice on top of that to make it actually sound nice. You know, so you have to actually do the process of stacking it up. So in the process of stacking it up, we have to understand that's also applicable to our lives as well, because we need to stack up on our control mechanisms and uncontrolled mechanisms here, which is why it requires discipline in the third dimension, but you don't need discipline in the fifth dimension, or like the higher realms, I would say, where it's a quantum creative sphere is actually living on, you know? So that is the beautiful part about it. It's like your third dimension based stuff, which is all the density based stuff, you have to have the discipline, you have to have certain kind of control. But in that control, you have to just love it, and you have to have no control of it. It's just that it's non-negotiable. It's just my way of living. This is my way of life, you know? Wow. And that's how it is. I believe that is the biggest thing with people.
The person I think of when you talk about that is like Kobe Bryant, like a Kobe Bryant, like how disciplined, like, you know, no matter what, he was up in the morning shooting hoops, training. And, you know, any of these greats, that's all that they're continuously training and doing. So I guess like it's kind of the same, like with creativity, you're constantly training, whether that's journaling, meditating, going outside, exercising, tapping into nature. I don't know, what are some other things that kind of help catalyst and help those that are kind of stuck? Like, are there other suggestions and things that you have and recommend for someone who's like blocked, or they're just like staring at a blank page? They're a writer and they want to write this book, right? But they're just like, they're stuck.
Yeah, I would say like one thing that really helped me was having an accountability coach.
Mm.
You know, having someone that's not in your sphere, which is not family, not friends, just no one that you know that you can just go to that completely understands you creatively and goes, okay, I'm going to do this, right? But I need your help and I need someone to keep me accountable for the work that I'm doing and to be able to also dissect things in such a way that they can go, why did you do this instead of that? You know, you could have done this in a much more efficient way. You know, there's so many different things and you learn so much from it. And I guess that is something that I love doing for people because I realize that it ignites their creativity, themselves creatively.
Mm.
And now I realize how much I needed that when I was younger, doing photo shoots, creative directing, you know, like running an agency, like how much I required that. And I would have been a very different person, but because I was learning everything myself on a hands-on based skill, I guess I developed the skill of understanding it quite deeply without requiring someone else to like come in and butt in as well. So there's two ways to it. And I feel like, yes, keeping the end goal in sight consistently is the best way to just kind of go, okay, I want this to happen. I have a set date for it to happen by. I need to get it done by this date. So let's work on it bit by bit. But not everyone wants to take the first step. Not everyone wants to take the second step. It's hard. It's hard. I know. I get it. And this is why sometimes you just need someone to be able to go like, okay, come on. Like I'm having your hand, you know, because once you do it once, you get a confidence. Once you do it twice, you get an extra boost of confidence. Maybe three times, you're kind of like, okay, cool, I get the gist of it. And then fourth, fifth, sixth, seven times, and you're like, okay, cool, I don't need the coach now because the coach just like helped me get through that point. I'm in constant creative flow. Now, what else can I work on to be able to be much more optimized than what I am now?
Mm.
That's the beautiful part about it. You know, it's so easy. But the first step is the hardest. It's like, you know, telling a kid to jump into a pool the first time. maybe. And this is why some people create very sporadically because they have that space of inspiration and then they go, okay, I'm just going to be inspired and I'm going to create something during this point. Mm-hmm. And then there's times of uninspiration where they go like, okay, I'm not going to create anything because I'm feeling really crap. But the uninspired times are the times where we can actually also use to create. Mm. But no one wants to do it because it doesn't feel so good because they feel yucky. So, you know, and if you're creating consistently from that space of always inspired, then we won't have one of the biggest artists in the world, you know, like Andy Warhol, and like a lot of pain comes from those spaces of creating from that space of like, you know, anger and depression, and there's some beauty in that, and you know, channeling that aspect of self and understanding that it is totally normal to feel those emotions but not attach those emotions, but have awareness of that emotions and creating from above the awareness, it's a different kind of superpower.
That's like, I feel like it's kind of like training when you go to the gym, but like for creativity training. And it's like, if you stay consistent and then you just keep building and building and building, you're kind of flexing your creative muscles. And then it's just like comes so naturally that you don't then get stuck is kind of what you're saying. Yeah. I see that. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. I totally agree with you on the factor of like when you're kind of in these murky waters of you don't want to create, right? It's a Netflix day, right? I just want to Netflix and binge all day. But that's probably the day that you really need to create because those emotions and how you're really feeling is something that you can transcend. That's so amazing. I never really thought of it that way. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be Netflixing. But
yeah, because when I feel like a lot of people do move into that space of that space of being comfortable. And I think the human mind and the human body and brain is so used to being able to be in that space of trying to be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost touch from actually feeling pain and true pain, you know, like actually wanting to really understand that emotion, pain, you know, and when we don't have a depth of pain, then we also lose the depth of love.
Yeah.
So it is both, you kind of require both sides. You need the suffering and you also need the heightenedness. So the more deeper the pain, the more high the love. So, you know, then you understand that pain and love is both the same thing, but then it's just in a complete opposite spectrum. Yeah. Both of them have their own power of creation. And I think it's Taylor Swift is one of them that actually just creates from every heart breakup. You know, she creates an album and makes millions out of it from every heartbreak. She uses that transmutation of that anger and that energy and the frustration and the breakup. And she uses that as a way to be able to create something. And everyone just gets hooked on it. And it's cool. You know, so like, but the thing is, knowing how to navigate both sides is so important. You know, and for up and coming artists, for up and coming creatives, they've grown up in a world where it's very different from the world where I've grown up in, you know, or my dad has grown up in. Like, I've seen the transition from, you know, having a dial-up computer to having a phone. So, like, looking at that, you go, okay, well, you know, having that kind of spectrum of understanding, you see how creatively it's worked. And, you know, even till today, I can say half the things that I look at online have not even met my creative, like, potential of what I can think about. You know, that's like, you know, so like, I'm even looking at a lot of things, I'm like, I find it very hard for me to be in awe of a lot of things, because my mind is like trying to find something which is so high. And I know there's only a few things that I get very inspired by, and I look at them and I'm like, yeah, this is like exactly what I want. And it's cool, like, it's cool to like really have that, that you look at it and you're so creative that you can actually see I can execute better than that. Then what, like, what am I need to do now to be able to execute better or nicer or more amazing than that? You know, this is why, yeah, it's just such a fascinating topic when you go into this.
Yeah. And then my other thing is, like, it's really interesting about the coach part, because I didn't, like, I even for myself, like, I didn't realize, like, yeah, it probably is the same. You need a creative coach, someone who's kind of a third party that's not, I mean, I can't be like, mom, dad, you know, I can't be calling them up and they're my creative coach. I don't know if that would be helpful or comical, but, you know, I think, like, how does one go about finding one? Like, anyone listening here, they're creative, they want to find, you know, the right coach for them, they need to get trained, you know, like, I'm ready to get super creative, where would they go, you know?
So this is the thing, I think it's finding a coach which really resonates with you. I guess, you know, someone who stands in your same kind of like junction and goes, I can see your potential, and this is what, like, I believe most coaches need, is like, especially with the creative industry, because we're not talking about business, we're not talking about creating systems, we're not trying to talk about life coaching. We're talking about creative coaching, which is so much more different than a lot of the left brain based coaching techniques, because we're talking about writing modalities, which is to do with creatives. So having someone that can actually see your potential is so important for any creatives. It's just being able to go, all right, I see the light in you and I see where you shine. You're just not doing it. So let's change that to something I can do. You know, so so yeah, like, I mean, I guess it just really depends on the coherence. Like, you know, obviously a few things to always ask is like having that energy that you feel like, can I actually be vulnerable with this coach? Can I actually tell anything or tell her anything that, you know, I come from a space of non-judgment and all of that, you know? So making sure that you have accountability, and will you actually listen to them? Like, do you feel like that person is also of, you know, you respect them enough to be able to go, hey, like, you know, I'm going to listen to this person because this person knows what I'm talking about. And there's obviously, there's not many people in the creative coaching scene. And I guess, like, you know, I'm one of a few, which are very interesting, because when you go into the creative field, it's most coaches are already so doing the creative work and they're just in that flow of creating. And I think my mission after, you know, a long, long time of creating realized was I just don't see new people emerging. Let's create more of these new people emerging in their own creative. That's where I think I started, because you can spend, you know, if we really look at a model of even education in the creative industry, most things could be bought online or learned on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, whereas people would be spending around 50, 60 grand on a college education to learn photography. If you're really inspired by photography, there's a lot of photographers out there who did not go to college and get a skill. They just went out there and just learned it raw themselves with a camera on YouTube.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I in between shows, I would shoot photography, and that was something I didn't go to school for or anything. I just loved it. And so it was just something that I learned on the fly. And I think that's the thing is opening ourselves up to those opportunities, because I think that's where you grow so much creatively, you know, without putting those limits or boundaries of I can't, who is she to hold a camera? You know, I think the thing is as creatives, we have to support, you know, fellow creatives and doing and trying a lot of things, kind of like going to a, what do you call it? A all you can eat buffet. Try all the different things out and see which one tastes best for you, you know?
And that's, that's very cool that you said that, because, you know, I dabble in photography, but at the same time, it's cool. I just know that there's certain skill sets that I'm not able to execute that I can actually learn.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are wanting to pursue the creative industry, if you're not going to do it now, you're not going to do it ever. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you need to upgrade a skill to be able to get somewhere, then you're not going to do it then. You're going to find it really, really hard. You know, so really have to understand, are you actually coming from the space of ego? Are you coming from the space of complete just awareness of wanting to create and passion? And a lot of people do get into the creative industry from the ego space, and they do well. I wouldn't say that they don't do well. They're probably one of the bigger penetrators of the creative space. But at the same time, you can see work which is just passion.
You can tell the difference.
It stands out very differently. You know, and I'm pretty sure you've seen it in just by looking at people's portfolios, and you go, wow, okay, cool. That comes from a space of ego, that comes from a space of passion. You know, it's very different way of, there's the artistic touch to it. It's just a bit more refined in the people who are passionate in that project. Whereas, you know, people who are coming from the ego space, which are just stale and mechanical, they just want to just get it out there. You know, then you go, okay, yeah, cool. I get it. I get it. It's not creative. It's just mechanics of just me being able to take a photo of a product, put it onto an e-commerce store to be able to sell, sell it for $50. And there's no that passion or that creation behind it, you know? And creativity comes from creation, and creation requires the creativity. And you know, a lot of people, and I call them bullshit artists, to be honest. I just call them, bullshit artists. I'm not gonna fluff them up. I'm not gonna fluff them up, and I'm not gonna say yes, you're great, because unfortunately, if they're not vibrating from the true essence, and they're just looking at someone else, and they want to copy and paste that similar thing, that is just. That means they're not coming from their true voice. They're not coming from their true, their true passions, which is so important, especially in this day and age, because everyone is so unique. Why would you want to express any other way? Or why would you want to express the same person? And I call it the Kardashian effect.
I see that.
Females, they all want the same thing. They want a white Range Rover. They want to wear the same nude clothes. They want to have the same feelers, the same hair color, the same balayage, this whole thing. it is like literally walking around like with a whole bunch of clones. And I'm like, you folks all look the same, you know? Like then to me, I know where the creative potential is for society, but I see where it is at, and it's almost been hijacked because people think that that is their personality, but it's not.
I get what you're saying, because I feel like people are trying to, like you said, the Kardashian effect. They feel like, okay, they're cool and hip right now. I can wear the same outfit. I can look the same and, be a Kardashian too. And I think like it's better to just express who you are and what your love is. If you love anime, if you love, cartoons or skateboarding. I don't know. For me, I love skateboarding and surfing. Growing up in on the West Coast, that was, what I did was skateboarding. So, but like finding those things that kind of express who you are and what you enjoy, because otherwise, what's the point? But I guess how do we break from that culture? Because we have social media, and social media is this construct of, TikTok, now it's 15 seconds of fame. And I mean, I was just watching a friend that I knew earlier, and he has a lot of views just singing all the time on TikTok and doing TikTok videos. And I'm like, wow, that this is the new commerce, as a brand. So I'm just wondering on the creative spectrum what your thoughts are with that whole landscape.
I think it's amazing because I think like this actually has opened up a door, a plethora of ways for people to express themselves, which, you know, we are bringing out all the weirdos, to be honest, and it's sifting away all the clones. Unfortunately, like that is what we're moving into because I think like, you know, TikTok was probably one of the best things that's ever happened, or Reels, because people now have to actually show their personality. It's
Very
not
true.
about just posing in front of camera, wearing three shot and photoshopping afterwards and changing everything out of it.
Right,
And
yeah.
then going, hey, this is me, like my photo. It's done. Like those days are done. It's not gonna work anymore. People will see right through that now. So people need more personality. So like you see why now the weirdos are the ones that are getting most attention, you know, the people who are singing, the people who are like comedian, the people who are like doing weird things. They are getting the attention, which is great because that is what the world needs more, because the weirdos have always been weird. They just never had a platform to be able to show the weirdness of them.
That's
And people
funny.
can relate to the weirdness, you know. And I'm weird, so I just go, yes, cool. Like, come on, bring on the weirdo cruise because I'm sick of just seeing the same clones everywhere, you know, of seeing the same lips and hair and body everywhere because it's the same thing. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change your perception, and it's not expanding the human, like, you know, consciousness. It's just, this is the box. Stay in that box, you know. Why?
My question with expansion and all that is for creatives, for me, I tap into meditation and that helps me kind of center myself and tap into who I am to expand. Are there other routes and ways that you suggest?
And I think that that comes from a space of flow. Like I think it's just like allowing that flow, because I'm a channeler myself, right? And in order for me to channel, I have to allow the energies to come through and just really just wipe it out. And allowing is such an important thing because when you allow the energies of the channels to, you know, because if we are blocked in a certain spectrum or a certain field, it makes it harder for us to be able to express. So expression requires true allowance, you know. So yeah, really, really just allowing, letting the channels come through, sitting back with ease and just not having the judgments for the thoughts, because I think a lot of creatives tend to overthink and overanalyze thoughts that come through, because when those thoughts are coming through, you go, right, I look at this thought. And I'm going to hyper inflate this thought into something that's really big and just create this story in my mind and never really existed anyways. But, you know, really being aware and acute to the thoughts that's coming through, because if those thoughts are not serving you, then you just have to be able to find a way to be able to navigate it. And this is why sometimes when you meditate, like some weird thought comes through and you go, okay, like, you know, but then now I'm going to hijack it And sometimes it comes from trauma. And I think 90% of times it comes from trauma, you know, like childhood, society, parents, like everything. The whole environment is literally a trauma feeding mechanism. And it's about us needing to feel like, no, I'm not taking on the trauma, sorry. You know, I'm moving on from that. And I think that is why the greatest artists or the people who are like highly creative, they just completely surrender the traumas and they're just very, I'm at peace with myself. I'm allowing whatever comes through just to come through. And this is why it's so beautiful, because the more we do that, then the more we're going to be able to uplift other people, because then the same message will start vibrating to everyone else who have tapped into their creative power, you know? So so that is my main mission. And I've created this this program called the Codex Ultimatum. And the reason for the program was actually to be able to bring 10 people through a journey for a month to be able to unleash their full creative potential. And I think it came down to the fact that a lot of people were like asking me how am I doing the things that I'm doing. And I said, and I was like, I can't explain it, but I can. I can put it into a program and you guys can have the program and you guys can actually, I'll guide you guys through for 4 weeks to be able to clear it. And, and you'll see, you know, that like everyone will just step into their power. And that's what I want to see more. I want to see, I want to see these people being able to express the way that I express, you know, come on, like, you know, it's time for us to be able to be creative. This is the most exciting time humanity has ever had. And we have so much of tools. Like I'm chatting to you halfway across the world.
I know, isn't that amazing? Right? I think like just 15, like a couple years ago, like this wasn't even possible. Like, and it's so like, it's mind blowing what technology and what landscape we're in. So I feel like, especially in this landscape, we can be limitless and have that creativity and just tap in and break through the boundaries and boxes. But I think like sometimes it can be our own selves. I know for myself, sometimes I'm blocking myself, and I'm just wondering, like, for people similar to myself that maybe I would say at times I can definitely self-sabotage. We all do, we're human, but what would you recommend for someone, whether it's me or one of our listeners who is like maybe self-sabotaging or something, like stepping in their own way of their power?
Okay. So usually I, you know, love creative visualization, you know, obviously visualizing your end product, how you're getting there, why you're getting there. And then really also understanding the path that you need to take to get there. Right? Because when you know the path, like, so it's almost like, you know, when you're going to a friend's place, who just moved into a new neighborhood, you do not know how to get there. So you have to have a Google Maps to be able to go like, boom, 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 to get to that place, right? And you go in the second time, you're kind of like, oh, I know the street now, I know how to get there. But third time, you're like, yep, I'm a pro at getting this place, right?
Yeah.
Having that path is so important. To like getting to that end point. When you're doing something different for the first time, it's going to feel so uncomfortable, it's going to feel so weird, it's going to feel so like, it's, what am I doing, right? But then when you do it more times enough, you're just going to be like, okay, I know how to get there, I know what to do, I know how to get to that part. So like, repetition is key. You know, don't switch it up too much, just keep it in the same formula. You know, it's so important just to keep it in the same formula. Just don't smash it around. Just going to be like, okay, I'm going to change this, I'm going to upgrade it. Because then you're creating more parts and going to create, like, that means your friend's constantly moving on, like moving to different houses. Yeah. And you're trying to keep up with this person who's moving houses all the time. And you can't go and visit and have a stable relationship because this person's moving up and down all the time. So let's like anchor a really good friend, which is your creative potential, that's living in a house in a street, and you can see that street, and how do you going to get there, and make sure that you memorize that formula and use that formula for a while, you know. And you can switch it up once you become a master of that space. Then you can go, okay, cool, I'm thinking I'm switching it up a bit, you know, because I know what I'm going to do, like let's go, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
So that is the main thing, like, you know, finding the formula, sticking to that same formula and not deviating too much so that it doesn't actually have to, you don't give the self-sabotage a chance to even come in. Because it's not always going to happen if you know the route to get there. You know, it only comes in when you are going on places which are unknown and you're like, okay, I need to take this tracking ride to go to a house. Okay, right, I'm going to track now. But then like it's too hard because then you go, I'm going to track, I'm going to get lost now. Now I'm in fairyland. I've not created anything for the past month. Then you're, you know, then you literally need to find search and rescue to bring a helicopter to find you in the middle, right? And then they have to bring you out of it and bring you back to home base to be able to start all the way again. And then by that time, you've completely forgotten how to get to the house again.
Yeah, that's funny.
You get what I mean? So then already you're reaffirming to yourself and saying that, oh, that's not worth doing anymore.
Mm.
It takes a lot of time and confidence to get back to that space of being able to do it.
Yeah, very true. That really spoke to me on some stuff. I know for myself, vocal warm-ups, I haven't been as consistent. So I definitely probably have to jump back on that. But I'm sure other listeners that are listening can totally relate to that, you know, navigation metaphor that you said, because when you're in that phase and you don't, you know, you hit the detour, right? And it's hard to get back on path because, I don't know, sometimes for me when I get off path, and I know 2020 was a complex year of emotions, I know for myself, I got off path and I was like, okay, I'm now in the map mode where it's like rerouting, 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 rerouting. But I was like, okay, how do I get out of rerouting? Because I'm just like circling around. I might as well do donuts in my car. So I guess like, for those that are in that similar space, like, it's just, you know, get back to the vision, what you created in your creative map and what your kind of where the end goal, where that house is, and then just go and take those steps. Is that kind of like what you're saying?
Just having a good solid step process and just being like, I'm going to follow the steps for now. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not the best, but it works and I'm just going to follow it. Because it's working for me. Because a lot of the times when we do move around with different ways or experiment with different ways of doing things, we then sometimes can, you know, start triggering certain traumas, triggering certain unhealed processes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where if you find that you are in that kind of space, then you require someone like me to be able to unpack all of that all the time. Whereas if you find a winning formula consistently, you can just do that winning formula and just not worry about it. But then when you're up leveling or when you're moving up into like the next step or the next process, then you're going to still require but the thing is sometimes that also can be a bad process, because when you do it too often enough, it can get kind of stale and boring and not exciting enough. And you know, you're not stimulating your mind. Your mind can go like, oh, okay. Yeah. And this is why it's so important to be able to have that fun and play with it and not taking everything too seriously.
Yeah.
And having maybe potentially like an accountability coach or someone that can go like, hey, like, so why don't you try it this way? And let's play around with that aspect of things. And you know, then you have someone that also have the confidence for you to keep on switching it up, because you know that someone's there to be able to unpack it for you too.
Especially
when you are in that level of like really wanting to step into the higher, you know, like, okay, I'm ready to move up, but I'm afraid to move up because I do not know who's going to pull me back. Or have my hand when I'm up there. So having that someone, like someone to hold you accountable for that, you know, it's so important. And it can be a friend, but sometimes, you know, I always find friends and relationships can also be, because they know you emotionally, and they know your personal lives emotionally, it really, really can take away from your, if you're really wanting to pursue creative as a potential career, you know, it, unless that friend is the perfect mirror for you as a creative as well. And I've seen a lot of creatives as a duos, and they work amazing together because they just bounce off each other.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's amazing if you can have that kind of relationship with someone or friendship with someone, and you use that as a way to be able to motivate. And I believe that I'm a bit of a motivator for a lot of my group because they all look at me as mirrors and they go like, well, like Karen's doing this, that's cool. I want to do something like that. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. Please do. The world needs more of it. I don't have this thing of understanding, oh, like that person's doing it, so I have to do the same thing because I'm free flowing. Because why would I want to do that? And I think the biggest misconception is you should actually be helping other fellow creators. That is the thing. The key is to be able to help other people because you will also generate that same energy for you because then you'll get help when you need it. And I think it's such an important key point because a lot of creatives tend to be very competitive as opposed
Yeah,
to.
that's very true. Like I think like especially in the creative field, like it's like, oh, okay, if you're in an art competition show, right? And it's paintings, or even I would say writing songs, it can be very competitive, like, oh, your song didn't chart. But your song might be an amazing song and get on a TV show. So I think like the thing is, each has value, and it doesn't matter how big the span is. It's just about igniting that spark. And talking about Limitless and closing up Limitless, is there one last thing that you'd like to share about creativity to help our listeners and help expand and become more limitless in their creative thinking?
I think the best thing is attach. I always say this to everyone, and it's one of my favorite quotes. And it's, I'm not too sure who said it, but it is attached to nothing, connected to everything. Because when we come into space of attachment, that means we are trying to control. So attaching comes from a space of, obviously wanting to control a certain outcome, wanting to control a certain way of being or certain creative projects. So if you have something that you really, really want to attach to that outcome, then you're going to constantly live your life with that attachment. But then when you release that, you're just connected to so much more, something way beyond than what you can think. So yeah, that's my main thing.
Wow, that was powerful, Chiron. Thank you so much for joining and being a part of Limitless. I'm just so grateful. You're our second episode, and I'm just so excited, and I can't wait for others to have their creativity sparked from you. This was amazing, and I look forward to maybe having you another time too. So, I know our previous guest, he wanted the 1,000th episode, so I don't know what number you want, but maybe 1,001. So
Oh, give
he's
me
like, by that time. But
555.
five, okay, done.
Give me
The other question I have is where, if someone's looking for a coach, where can they find you? How can they connect with you?
5. So I usually like working with people one-on-one. So my best place to actually get in touch with me would be on my Instagram. So just go into Chiron Kairos and everything is on there. And that's my website. All the events that I do, my immersions, everything is all literally laid out on the website. I am at the moment creating a new creative booking platform. So keep in mind with those things and just keep an eye for those things because it's going to be really, really powerful and different. It's for creatives and it's creative supporting other creatives and also being able to work with different companies and brands and really, start making a statement piece with their creativity as well. So
That's exciting.
yeah, it's exciting.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining Limitless, Chiron. And I'm going to make sure everyone connects with you and joins some of your amazing. I know you do raw and unedited on IG Live, and then I know that you do some panels and seminars. Or some are in person, and then some are virtual, correct?
Yes, a lot of them actually are virtual at this stage, but a lot of them are also live as well. So just depending on the timing of that.
Okay, well, everyone, go tap into Chiron, and thank you so much for coming, and let's just be creative and limitless, right? Thanks for joining. Vibe with me on my frequency.